It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're going to once again read Genesis chapter 16 and then down into the 17th chapter, just a couple of verses. So I'd like for you to open your Bibles and you could follow along and read with us today God's precious Word, Genesis 16. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, begin with Parkview Bible Church, of course, and then Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I am glad that you have joined us today. Now let's begin the reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he came in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be unto thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dwelt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. He said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? Whither thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer-lah-hoi-roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Abram was 80 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, and for an everlasting possession I will be their God. Let's stop there at the 8th verse of chapter 17 and begin with prayer. Father, please, we have read your precious word. I ask that you will show us your way, that you will guide and lead us today, that we can learn from your word. And as we are looking and enjoying this study here in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, the first book of the five books of Moses, help us to not think it's just something of history, but help us to see how wonderful and exciting it is to study your precious living word, and how much we can see the Lord Jesus, and how we see, Lord, you growing us and changing us and moving us to be more like you. Thank you, Father, for this time now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at these wonderful verses of Scripture, and we started clear back in 16 because I wanted to take just a few minutes to kind of remind ourselves, and even back in the 15th chapter there, we have him passing through the in the 17th verse, 15:17. It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And then we have this covenant made in the 18th verse. You know, we've looked at Abraham. Abram is still his name. We have read now in the 5th verse of chapter 17 where God changes his name to Abraham. And hopefully we'll get there today. But you know, when we look through these verses of Scripture, we find that Abram has had quite a walk of faith. Sometimes he was very sound and followed the Lord Jesus Christ and followed the Lord God very carefully and closely. And then other times he failed. And I need to see and have you see that that's exactly the way we are. Even as a child of God, you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. But some days we do very well and some days we do very poorly. And Abram was no different. And let's just look at a couple of them here, and I want you to see them. We all go all the way back to when he left Ur of Chaldees. You know, that was a tremendous step of faith. He had to make a decision to leave the friends that he had there and leave the family that he had there and step out by faith. We know that it wasn't a clear step because he had brought Lot, his nephew, and he brought his father along with him and a few of their possessions. But he still left that area, and that was a tremendous step of faith. He had no idea where he was going, and yet he stepped out to do the Lord's will because God had called him out of there. However, when we got to the land of Canaan, the promised land, he didn't stay long because there was a famine there. That was a test of faith, a test that he failed because immediately he went down into Egypt. And of course, we have here in the 16th chapter, this lady's named Hagar. Where do you think she came from? She came from Egypt. When do you think Abram acquired her in the household? Probably when he was down in Egypt, out of the Lord's will. He was not walking by faith. And so we have two times. Ur of Chaldees, he left, he walked by faith. Got to the land, wasn't long, there was a famine, a test of faith, he failed it. You know, we need to look at ourselves as we look at Abram here, because we're just like that. We're kind of up and down, aren't we? But I want you to see we're not losing our salvation then getting it back, and losing our salvation and getting it back, losing our salvation and getting it back. We are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ as a child of God, failing many times because we do not walk by his way and his means. Well, we come a little bit further there, and if you'll remember, we have Lot making a nasty decision, and he ended up going up into down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and then those five kings, if you'll recall, came down and took all the goods of those lands and took Lot back with them. Well, then Abram armed his untrained servants. They weren't trained for war. He just took what men he had and went back after and went against an army and yet won. And so you see, that was a test of faith. He didn't question it. He knew that he had to go back after Lot, and he did, and that was the end of it. And we watched God perform this wonderful miracle and allowed it to be a victory for him. We also see a great step of faith, and this is one that we have trouble with, because when the world offers us much, you know, when they offer us something, maybe there isn't really anything wrong with what has been given to us. But Abram made a statement. He said, I don't want anyone to say that you, being Sodom and Gomorrah, have made me rich. The God of the heavens, the God of Israel, to come, my God, the true God, he will make me rich. And he had strength enough to turn the spoil away. He gave it to those that went to help him, but he said, I don't want any of it. A wonderful test. Well, then we come and we find ourselves here at this beautiful time when this covenant was made in the 15th chapter. And we notice, and as I shared many times, it is all God's doing. God performed it all. And you know, there are many covenants in the Scripture, but there's really, when you come right down to it, there's only two. One is a covenant of grace, and one is a covenant of the law or of works. And the one that of the law and the works is the one that always connects man. God set forth what needed to be done, and man had to perform it. Whether it was a promise to the nation of Israel that I will bless you in your land if you stay faithful to me, well, they didn't. So that covenant was broken. And do you realize that every covenant of the law or works that God made and man had a part of, which every one of them there is, when it's put before us in the law, then, and we'll make it very simple here, I'm going to take you all the way back to Adam and Eve. What was the one law? One. We spent quite a bit of time on that when we were back at that time. One law was made. Do not eat of the tree of good and evil. Do not eat of that forbidden tree. That's the only one. You can eat of any one of the rest of them, but don't eat that one. One law, one rule. How did he do with that covenant? He broke it. And do you realize that every covenant that God has made with man, and man had a work to complete it, an action of some sort or another, in every case, no exception, man failed. Every one of them, that covenant has been broken. Every one. Now, when it's a covenant of grace, it is a covenant that is still between God and man, but man has nothing to do with it. God does it all. And here, with this wonderful promise of being able to go in and to possess this land, this covenant was one-sided. It had nothing to do with Abraham doing something to get it. And I need you to see that. Now, yes, they had to go in and they had to destroy the enemy, but and that's where it kind of turns to back to the law, because he told them to destroy everything, clean the land out, and it will be yours. Well, they kind of halfway did that. And so, but the promise of the land to be given to them was a promise that was a promise of grace. It was one-sided. It was not two-sided. Now, to keep it, there was a different story. But to receive it. Now, with us, with salvation, I am so thankful that it's different than this land, because when it comes to salvation, you and I are saved by grace. And it's God's covenant with us, and we have nothing to do with it. The only part that we have, as Abram with this sacrifice in chapter 15, he killed the animals. That was it. God performed everything. And we do the same thing. We have to turn to the cross of Calvary. But God does all the work, every bit of it. But I want you to see that, because as we not only look through these tests of faith, we also glance quickly at something we really haven't talked a lot about, and that's the covenant of grace or the covenant of law or works. Every time it's law or works, we have failed it. So if you're in a church, if you're in a place called a church, and your doctrine is set upon the doctrine of law or works, to get you to heaven, to get your sins forgiven, you are going to fail and already have. The only way that you can have faith, the only way that you can have forgiveness of sins, the only way that you can attain salvation and your heavenly home and in the presence of God is to come by faith and trust in Him and His grace. It's His covenant. It's a covenant of grace that gives us that, not a covenant of works or law. Now, we've got these tests of faith, Ur-Chaldees, the famine, the going after Lot, the not taking the spoil. And now we come to another one, tests of faith, and we're back to the covenant. God promised Abram that He would give him a son. But when we got to the 16th chapter, we find that Abram failed in his walk of faith again because he became impatient. You can blame it on Sarai all you want to, but it comes right down to Abram himself. He failed because he became impatient, thinking that there was never going to be a time that that child was to be born. And if we come now, because we have studied through all of this, and when we come to this place now, we're to the place where this son was born, and his name was Ishmael. And we know, according to the 12th verse, that he will be a wild man. A wild man. One made a comment, it's a donkey gone wild. That's kind of a wild man. And when we left last time, I wanted you to find, can you find where the descendants of Ishmael, who are they? Well, I said that they have been doing battle ever since, started at this time, and have still doing it. There is the birth of the Arab nation. And so you see, we have Israel, and we have the Arabs, and they have been killing each other from the start, and even anyone, as we see today, anyone that supports Israel, the Arab nations hate. And we see a hatred, and we're seeing it more and more, of men that are literally animals, wild animals, have no value of life or theirs or anyone else's. And we see that, and we had that promise clear back here. It started with Abram. It started with Abram. And we are told by the Word of God that we should stand next to God's promised people, and that's the nation of Israel. And when we stand against them, that means the world as a whole is going to hate us. And we have sure seen that in the last few months and few years here, how that the world hates us. And the hatred comes, and few want to accept that. But few accept the fact that it is because of the stand that we have with the nation of Israel. And we are told in the beginning of God's Word here, going to be a wild man. And he's held up to his orders, hasn't he? He is a wild man. Now, we find, then, this continuing to go on through today, to be true today. And it continues, she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. I'm in the 13th verse, I'm sorry. For she said, God, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Berlehoiroi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bera. Hagar bare Abram a son. Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Who named this man? Look at the 11th verse. The angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. What a prophecy. You question the Word of God, look at what it says. I don't question at all what's going on over in the Middle East, because it is prophecy. We know it. They hate us. They hate us with a passion, with a hatred beyond any hatred. And it started back when these two people started back, of course, with sin. But when Abram got impatient, a test of patience, that was a test of faith, Abram failed. Abram failed. Now, I want you to see, we have the name. We have, in the 16th verse, Abram's age. Abram was fourscore and 6 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Find that there in the 16th verse of chapter 16. And we went on to read, and the reason I wanted to get just a little bit further, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram. What happened to the years between verse 1 of chapter 17 and verse 16 of chapter 16? What happened to those years? We have nothing. We have no mention of him building an altar or coming to the altar. We have no mention of God making a covenant with him as a covenant of law or works or a covenant of grace. We have no mention of fellowship between Abram and the Almighty God. We have no mention of Abram praying, and we have no mention of any fruit coming out of Abram. We have nothing. And if you did the arithmetic, you'll realize that we're talking about 13 years. 13 years was wasted between 16:16 and 17:1. 13 years because Abram became impatient. I think Abram took Ishmael and he took him as his son. He ignored the call of God. I think that he had trouble with Ishmael from the very beginning, but I do think that they were very close because that was the son that Abram always had wanted, and he was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. We find nothing going on between him and the Lord until he was 99 in the first verse of chapter 17. You know, sometimes we depend upon ourselves. We make decisions ourselves. And that can even be done indefinitely in our lives, in our individual lives, that we'll make decisions. And it will be a period of time before the Lord God appears to us because we are so busy with the world. But it can also be in the church. And I see it in individuals' lives. I see it in the church today. And it's a very simple way to see if a church is Spirit-led, is led by the Holy Spirit, because it will have very little use for committees, for programs. Oh, today, that's all you see. There are programs, as we're doing this right now, there are programs going on to build mighty mega churches. Oh, it's the greatest thing ever. It's a program. You need to get down on your knees. You need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. And you need to call upon him. You need to clean out all them committees. You know, sometimes the churches get to such a place, and other organizations do too. The other organizations need that form of government because they do not have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But the church does. And the church needs to follow after the Holy Spirit. And the only time that you begin to form committees and begin to bring programs into the picture is when you have left the truth. And maybe it was done because you have left the King James and you've went over to the NIV, as so many have done today. Maybe it was because you have been duped by someone, and you've decided that, boy, this program is the best of the best, and I know it's going to double, triple, quadruple our church membership. What's so wonderful, we can reach so many people. I'm going to tell you that no one is ever saved when the Spirit is gone. And in most churches, the Spirit is gone. They have committees, they have programs, they have so many activities going on. It's not of God. always without exception, the more the Spirit leads, the less committees and programs and organization that you'll need or see. The less the Spirit leads, the more you need to have programs, committees, organizations within that system in order to keep it afloat. It's the only way it can work. Because, you see, you no longer have the power of God and the direction of God and the leadership of God. Abram crossed that line. He had done so well most of the time, from Ur of Chaldees to the Promised Land, down to Egypt and back. Then it seemed as though that he was really, really heading the right direction. But you see, he felt like God was no longer doing a work. And you know, sometimes a church will get that way just a little bit. It'll get maybe just a little quiet, you would think, and maybe nothing's going on that you notice. Maybe you'd almost call it just a little bit stagnant. Oh, we've got to have a program. We've got to have some committees. Let's figure out what's the matter. Let's get rid of the preacher and get a different preacher. Something's wrong. Well, something's wrong. It's got nothing to do, maybe with the preacher, I'm not going to say that, but it definitely doesn't need a committee. It definitely doesn't need programs. It needs the Spirit to come back into that church and to guide and lead it. And the only way that's going to come is if you will come and fall on your face. Now, we find here, God did not forsake Abram. Abram forsook God. And God let him out there for 13 years. And he said, all right, Abram, you wanted a program. You wanted a committee. You got it. You decided that you and Sarai, that's a committee. You've decided that let's figure this out because, you know, God isn't doing it. But we can proceed. I know that God wants me to have a seed, so we will proceed in the proper direction here. Let's do this. We can do this. And so they got together, and they had this committee, and they voted and decided that he should go into Hagar, and that would be the seed. You know, they tried it once before with Eliezer, because Eliezer was the a servant, and he had a son, and that would work. Well, God said no. Well, Abram got impatient again. Let's see that we do not get impatient. Let's see that we walk after the Lord Jesus Christ and we seek His will and we do His will and we do His way and we do not turn to all these programs that are before us. Because the only time you need those is when the Spirit of God has left. Is that what's wrong? I understand why you have to have fundraisers. I understand why you have to have ice cream socials and Lord's Acre sales and all those things. You know why? Because the Spirit of God is gone. You need a fundraiser? The Spirit of God is gone. Because you see, if the Lord God cannot raise the money to function and to operate your church and your fellowship and your mission work that you have, there's something wrong. You're either involved in something you shouldn't be in that mission work, or you haven't waited upon the Lord. I ask today that you do that. Abraham was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. What beautiful words. Beautiful, beautiful words. We'll continue there next time we get together. I hope that you will look away from our own means and way and realize and recognize that we must do it God's way. And I hope that you are not trying to establish some kind of program or plans to do otherwise. Because you'll be barren for 13 years or longer. You know, as we look to the Word of God, it's such a joy to study it. I hope that you've enjoyed it today. Now, please, I ask that same question. Will you come to the cross of Jesus Christ today? What are you going to do about Jesus?